100 BC, around the time of Moses, and compiled around 1400 to about 400 BC. But the majority are attributed to, or about, or written by David at the height, with David and his son Solomon, the height of the glory of the nation of Israel. Often when a nation or an empire prospers, the arts prosper because there's money, space, time to be creative. And you can see that, this amazing explosion of wisdom, literature, and hymn writing and poetry in the height of Israel's golden era. What I'm going to do now is do a whistle-stop tour and draw out the one thing that I feel God's been pressing on me and bringing revelation to me over. It's deep and it's rich, and I will never even begin to do the whole thing justice. So we will go for the thing that I feel God's put on my heart. So firstly, we'll read through it. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And this is the context for which I'm going to speak, is a mindset of abundance. It's in a mindset of abundance. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. In other versions, I have everything I need. And so we apply that to every area of life. If the Lord is our shepherd, Yahweh, our covenant God, the one who pours out for us and loves us and pursues us, if he shepherds us, then we have absolute abundance in every area of our life. There's never poverty, there's never lostness, there's fullness and completeness. Even though us who fall short, Jesus says, those who are evil, parents who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more does our heavenly daddy, our Abba, who created the heavens and the earth, know how to pour out for us? So we address this psalm and we address everything it walks us through with a mindset of fullness. Does that make sense? It's absolutely critical. That's how we build our lives. A mindset that he's for us, he pours in, he has absolutely everything we need relationally, personally, health-wise, financially, in every area of our life. He is a very, very good, and he provides us everything we need, not just to get by, but to enjoy and celebrate. Fullness is part of who he is and his character. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And we have this mindset. Maybe we have it as a theology. We kind of believe it, but it hasn't penetrated yet. And we hit this place called the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death. There's a place we may hit relationally, we may hit it financially, we may hit it health-wise, we may hit it in terms of just a despair over life, of why we're here and what we're doing. We hit something that doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. With the Lord is my shepherd, I just have abundance. He's here for me to celebrate and enjoy and have fullness in every area. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod is authority, that he is in charge, that he protects and stewards those under his care, and the staff represents support and comfort. And they bring this covenant mindset through. So the person walking in this, David or any of us, we hit this place, and actually what we really believe is exposed. What we really believe is flushed out. When we hit the valley of the shadow of death, and it could be anything. It could be obvious traumas that everyone knows about. It could be the hidden things that we've never told anyone. We know when we hit it what we really believe. And David understands covenant. He's an absolute phenomenal understanding that God is for him, not against him, whatever he's walked through. And he's able to say in that moment, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and staff comfort me. Now, my story is I actually was gripped by tormenting fears. Quite the opposite. I didn't understand covenant. I didn't understand he's in pursuit of me. I didn't understand his abundant love for me. I'm not saying I got there, but I can say I had tormenting fears, which proved that I couldn't say I fear no evil. In fact, quite the opposite. I feared a lot of evil, rational and irrational. I couldn't read the papers. I just found things too dark in this world, and I couldn't see how a light could trumpet some of the darkest things. But what happened to me as God walked me through that is I came to a place Bible is so, it's like a library. It's not actually a Bible. It's got like everything else in it as well. I'm quite hard to hold it up. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thanks, what I needed. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door, that's all I needed. Brilliant. It's not rocket science, is it? Yeah, it's good. Anyway, there we go. So I hit this place, and what he forges in us is the outcome of this psalm. He forges something in that place. We hit it, we see what we really believe, what we really don't believe. And then we come out. Now, this is a covenant context where you'd have the supreme king hosting, preparing a banquet for his vassal king. The vassal king, and this is ancient Near Middle East, gave his allegiance and loyalty to the big king, then the king would honor everything he needs, protection from his enemies and so on. And here we have David using that image saying, you prepare a banquet for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, which he gives him the cup of blessing, the host cup, and says, here, you receive it, and my cup overflows, the language of abundance again. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. The Hebrew for the word follow is actually more like hotly pursued, with hostile intent, like usually about enemy hostile in pursuit of you. And here he's saying the goodness and love is hotly, intentionally in pursuit of you all the days of your life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so what happens in that shadow is we come out in this incredible posture, able to experience a banquet and a celebration of the goodness of God in the very presence of our enemies. Quick whistle stop tour on how we redefine enemies. So in the ancient East, you had revenge culture. So if I plucked someone's eye out like Tim would come and try and get my whole family. My whole family would take revenge and try and get his whole tribe. His whole tribe would try and get revenge, get my whole nation. And Jesus, and God just brings the law in. He's just said an eye for an eye. Let's just be just about this. Someone's lost their eye. That needs to be, that's a violation that needs to be paid properly. So an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And then Jesus comes in and redefines enemies. He suddenly says, redefines treat our enemies. Love your enemies, pray for them, forgive them, bless them, commend and call out the fullness of God's goodness on their life, on their health, on their well-being, as you would on your own or your neighbour who you love. And he redefines it, and then Paul reinterprets how we read enemies in the Old Testament as our spiritual enemies. He says our battle isn't against humans. We're all now in partnership under the increasing governance of Jesus to live life well, should be, and sustainably. So we're all in partnership. There is not a single human in the whole world who is our enemy now. We've had that fundamentally redefined. And what we read, though, is there's an unseen realm which is at enmity and wars against our soul. And that's the real enemy. So when we see here, you prepare a banquet before me in the presence of my enemies, he's not saying those people who hate you. What is he saying? Let's call out some of our enemies that we're called in our spirit to have a posture in the goodness of God. Anyone can think of what might come against us in that posture. I'll start some. Fear, intimidation, shame, condemnation. Can anyone think of any other? Sorry? Lies, yep. Anything else? Jealousy, brilliant. Not brilliant, but brilliant. Sickness, yep. Anyone else think of things that come against us and undermine our posture of celebrating the goodness of God? Passivity, brilliant, yep. Poverty, yep. Violence, yep. Anger, yeah, unrighteous anger when it's just not appropriately against injustice, yep. Anyone else? Negative lies, yep. There's someone over here. Unbelief, yep, absolutely. These things assault us as individuals and as communities. They seek to divide us, they seek to undermine, they absolutely assault relationships, assault parenting, they assault how we do what life well, if we're trying to run stuff or manage stuff, or, you know, in the workplace, there's just this constant assault. Those are our enemies. But the beauty and the triumph of covenant is we have this banquet before us that God says, you just enjoy that. You just celebrate me in your goodness right in the presence of your enemies. Your cup overflows. Actually, your enemies aren't pursuing you anymore. Goodness and love is in hot pursuit of you all the days of your life. And I've come to a place which will be increasingly tested in loads of areas, I'm sure, but I think I get that. I know I get that more than I did. That in the presence of things which seek to assault, I can just go, do you know what? I know God's good. I just know he's good. I know he's kind. I know he's for us. I know he's able. And I know the increase of Jesus' governance and peace, there will be no end. Just know it. I see it. I see the civilizing effect of Christ around the world. We can't out-civilize Christ. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus. I'm ashamed of what people have done in his name. And for that, as a representative of him, I ask forgiveness. But I'm not ashamed of Jesus. We can never out-civilize him. We can distort him. We can pervert him. We can do all sorts of things. But we can never out-civilize. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless them. Whenever I've been tempted to be an enemy against someone and I've put that into practice, I'm liberated. I'm free. I live my life well because no weapon formed against me can prosper. Does that make sense? Done. 12 minutes.